Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I sometimes get a little speechless around Terry. our wonderful and esteemed and divine goddess, Lady Master, Reverend...
Grandmother.
Yes, and everything else.
Oh, good.
best-selling author and one of the leaders in the prosperity movement, the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear Reverend Terry Cole Whitaker.
Oh, Iris, same back, same to you, the sweet, wonderful Iris. I love to talk about you to people.
Wow.
She's so precious, and you're so precious and unique, and everybody who listens to the radio program knows that.
Oh, Terry.
They do.
Well, you know what it is? I finally gave up trying to be the right way.
That's a good idea.
You know, I finally gave up trying to be the right way. I pissed people off anyway.
Not you. You couldn't. You really couldn't.
So I just decided to stand up, be Iris, and let God do the rest through me, however God sees to do. And, Terry, one of my favorite things you ever said on TV was, I never let my topic interfere with what I want to say.
Right.
And I just fell over. You know, I started saying that to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that prosperity, that you've been one of the foremost prosperity teachers for me. And when I started studying with you, being where I am now seemed like an impossible dream.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like an impossible dream.
Wow.
And so I know, though, that your ideas of what prosperity is has changed over the years. And so I wonder if you'd like to talk about what your definition of prosperity is.
Well, yeah, to me, prosperity is this conscious connection with God, that God is my source and my supply, and that I go out when I teach prosperity at the different churches and spiritual centers. It really, I use mostly the teachings of Jesus in the sense that he's saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else shall be added. And it was saying how in that same scripture in Matthew, how that the people out there who are, said even the Gentiles, that they desire clothes. They're always thinking about their clothes, their house, other food, what they're going to have tomorrow. And he said, that's not really what you need to do, because that all gets taken care of by God. And that our job, and I like to say it to people, is to be in the family business. Because Mother, Father, God are our divine, eternal parents. And that we are children of God, and they're not going to, you know, let anything happen to us. God's always our protector and our maintainer. But it's that thing where we think prosperity means, what really it is people want is they want to feel secure. They want to be happy. They don't want to worry. They want to be able to do the things that they want to do. Just like there was this woman I was counseling with this morning on the phone, and she's one of, in my master's program, and she's this very successful artist. And she was saying, well, what I'd like is more money. She says, I have enough for everything I want, but I want more. I said, well, what do you want more for? And she said, well, I want more so I can give to my children because they're working so hard. I said, what's wrong with their working hard? That's really good for them. And it's like, so then she started really thinking what it really wanted. She has a beautiful home, and she wanted to start having groups at her home, maybe five or six women that would come, and, you know, she could teach these wonderful principles, and she has a horse. She can't decide whether to have it be at her house or somebody else's. But anyway, what it really got down to is that she had enough to do whatever she wanted to do, and if there was something else she wanted to do, she had enough to begin, just to start, small, doesn't matter. And so what happens is people in their mind, with prosperity, they never have enough. So they're never, ever happy or satisfied, and they're always living in fear. And oftentimes people who are wealthy with money and resources in the world, they're miserable. They're worried just as much as the person who's almost like in the street and doesn't have anything, because they're worried they're going to lose it. And so we have to understand that there's money worlds and unmoneyed worlds. You know, and the world of unmoneyed is the world of the soul, the self, the pleasure, the happiness, the bliss, the love, that feeling of what would you say, being in love with God, and God is in love with us, and our unity, and also our partnership. And so then the non-moneyed worlds would be the place of your house and your car and your stuff and all that kind of thing. And so if the people understand that the money and the things and whatever they want will come if that's really what they want. And that no matter how much they have, if they don't have that, they haven't surrendered to God truly, whoever God is for them, how they're God, they're always afraid. And so fear comes from poverty consciousness, from scarcity. There's not enough. And all the fear comes from, I'm not going to be comfortable in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with now. So right now they're fine, but in the future they think, I won't be fine. So now I'm going to worry about it right now. So anyway, this lady at the end realized she having enough is a wonderful prosperity thing. She always has enough. I said, what's wrong with that? She said, that's really good. I said, yeah, absolutely. Isn't that a wonderful statement? I always have enough.
Yeah, and you know,
for whatever you want to do.
Yeah, and I had a prosperity teacher that said, strip away excess so that you may experience enough.
That's very good. Because in the mind, it's like the world, you know, all the advertisers in the world, you know, they're flashing these lights, buy this, you gotta have this, you gotta have this. So people are like being jerked around. And they have so many desires that their minds are spinning all the time. And what I was learning recently, and I taught in this prosperity seminar I did yesterday, was that it's about focus. And why some people tend to have more power than other people is that these people know how to concentrate, and they know how to focus on not everything, but what's most important. And that's why these people are great souls, because whether it's an artist or a musician or a spiritual person or a salesperson, they focus on what they want to accomplish and what they want to do. Otherwise, people's energy, because everybody's got the same, but people need to be connected with God. That's real prosperity, is to know that I'm an instrument of God, and that there's an unlimited supply of ideas and creativity and power that God can flow through me if I'm an open channel for that.
And money, without
absolutely
taking it away from anybody else.
No.
And you know what else?
When
you know you're in the family business,
uh-huh,
when you know you're serving God, I wouldn't engage in any kind of, you know, money-making enterprise.
No.
That would hurt any part of life.
Any animal, even an insect. People don't realize, and I mean, you're going to step on some ants and stuff, you can't help it, but it's like, I had an organic farm in Washington, and it was this like really barren land, and we just put organic materials in the land. And as the land got healthy, we hardly had any bugs. But they could eat any part of the garden if they wanted it, but usually bugs come to eat what's sick, what's not, it's part of their function, what's not. And then if we keep killing the insects, they have to overpopulate so their species doesn't die out. If they're left to be just natural, it's called balance, and everybody's got a function. So we have to, you know, what humans tend to think is they have the only ones that have a right to live. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And
then only if you're the right color religion.
And
do the stuff I do and go where I say.
Yeah, and look like me and dress like I do. Yeah, you're okay. But all the rest are enemies. We'll have to kill you.
And probably don't have a soul either.
Oh, yeah, you're
infidels.
Not real. And you have no feelings.
Infidels.
Yeah, it's just like your infidels, and just like the cow or the you know, or the horse or the elephant or the camel, they're not people. Did you hear about this movie, something about the crying camel, the weeping camel?
Yes, I did.
Well, my friend was telling me how there was this, it was like a documentary, and there was this mama camel. She had a baby, and he was albino. She rejected him. She wouldn't have anything to do with him. And they tried, and they tried. The mother ignored him, and the little baby doesn't have an even mother. And so they sent for this man who came by train or whatever, and he had this musical instrument, and he played this ancient music that was healing. And after a while, it was like the mother, like the light turned on. She, like, shook her head. She looked at her baby, and she started loving it. And big tears started gone from her eyes. She was crying. This music, this is a documentary, this music brought her back to her, something had gone wrong, I guess, but to her motherly instinct, and she was crying big tears.
Everyone has that motherly instinct, men and women, and it's sort of been crushed out on this planet with testosterone or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what you're talking about is hypnotism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mass hypnotism, and that the music draws back the true soul. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
The sound, isn't it wonderful?
Well, let it be played on all the earth and out into the cosmos.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Well, you know what does that are also the holy names of God.
Yes.
Whether you're chanting Christ or Jesus or Krishna or Lord Shiva or Mother Lakshmi or I am that, you know, the I am of the ascended masters.
Yes.
These are all aspects of God. And in every religion I've studied, all of them say, sing the holy names of God. And there's unlimited names. So every name is just as potent as any other name.
Well, it's practicing the presence, too, and when I'm doing that, I don't want to say when anybody else is, but when when we're doing that, we're keeping our attention on the source of all perfection, and that's where our good comes from.
We're focusing again.
Yeah.
We're constant. See, with anything is if we just pray without ceasing, all of our needs will be met. And what happens is, I remember like some of the most miserable times of my life was when I wasn't giving. Because I was just, it was like I had been giving and I got a lot of criticism for giving and I was going to hide out and I was just going to enjoy my life. And so I was just thinking about what I could get and planning whatever else I could get and where I could travel. But I had no satisfaction. There was no soul satisfaction because I wasn't doing my job. It's called my dharma. I mean, we all have like our position, our life's work, you might say. And, you know, being a mother is a dharma, being a father, you know, a wife, a husband. But it's also, you might be a teacher, a singer, or whatever. And the real prosperity comes to us when we're giving out, when we're doing the thing. And that's what that scripture I said before in Matthew, it's basically seek the kingdom of God, which is God, which is the bliss of God, is who God is. And as we focus on God and giving our love through service, through the service to humanity, through our mantras, our chanting, our praying, but the giving out of goods and services, to help other people to prosper and to be healthy and happy, naturally we're going to have an inflow. Because the outflow and the inflow are two sides of the same coin. Every time I have an inflow, I have an inflow so I can have an outflow. And if I have an outflow, I'm going to have an inflow because when one brings up the other.
Well, for me, I've noticed that when someone gives me a lavish gift of some kind, all of a sudden I feel even more able to give.
That's it.
I feel even more able to give, and I look of, you know, I could give this, I could give this, I could give this. And I wanted to go back to something you said about peace and satisfaction, which is I had a wonderful prosperity teacher that said, the purpose of opulence is peace.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of opulence is peace.
And yes, so, that's very good.
And so I think we have to look at everything.
So when we're peaceful, we're actually opulent, too.
Yes, and we notice what we already have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we notice...
That's it. People think they don't have enough. So what they do is, even if it's a dollar, they curse it because it's not enough. And I say you better treat your money like you would a woman. Because if you're not nice to her and you're not appreciated, why should she stick around? You know what I'm saying? So you want to be thankful for that dollar.
Yes.
And that people are saying, oh, I hate my body. My body's old. My body's ugly. My body's not as pretty. So what are they doing? They're cursing the temple of the living God. So what's going to happen to it? Because it's our facility. The body's our facility to serve God, to realize, to become God realized in every way. And so here is this wonderful body that God gave us. And yes, it changes, but it's really this house for the soul, and yet it's not the soul, but it's a house. And so it's like the same as our furniture, our clothing, our friends, husband, wife. If we're always cursing them and they hate the job and hate having to give and hate having to serve somebody, and, you know, you've gone to a restaurant where people act like they wish you didn't come in, and it's the waiter.
I always wonder what's up with that. Isn't most of their money from tips?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. And there's a story on I tell at my groups where I was watching Lifetime of the Rich and Famous one time on TV. And there was they'd wanted me to be on that show, but I didn't think it was good for a minister. I was always already had, which I said, my criticizers. But anyway, I watched it, and there was a man who had started as a waiter in Europe in just a little restaurant. And over the years, he had parlayed his tips and little salary into owning a string of elaborate five-star hotels and restaurants all over Europe.
Uh-huh.
He's a very wealthy man. And so this Robin Leach said, well, aren't you afraid that you could lose this great wealth? He said, didn't even flinch. He said, no, I'm a waiter.
Well, and he did it from serving.
That was it.
He did it from serving.
And he knew that if he lost it, he could just serve again because he knew how to serve. And if you know how to give, love. See, the secret of wealth is to help other people get what they want. That's really good for them. You know, a lot of things people want, it isn't good for them because they don't understand. That's what the word sin means. A sin is actually a mistake of thinking and action because it's going to cause a problem. People think it's all like God saying, I have to do this or that. No, no, you can do whatever you want because people are. But the universe is one big cause and effect machine. And what you give out, you are going to get back. So if anything you're doing is meant to hurt or harm your body or somebody else in some way, that is always going to cause a problem. And so that's big mistake is to basically be living in this constant state of judgment, and it's judging I don't have enough, or I'm not a have enough, or judging God, that why does God make these people poor and these people rich? And if there's a real God, why are there wars? And they have all these questions, but they don't understand we have free will. God can't force us. You know, God's will is very dominant in our lives, but we have our will.
To deal with.
To deal with, yeah, exactly.
And therein lies the rub.
Exactly, the rub. Our little will, and we want our will then to be God's will, but I mean, our God's will to be our will, but if we ultimately look at it, God loves us. And so our highest will would give us everything that we ever want and possibly need and even more. But it also allows us to go into, what do you call it, develop our soul. I think it's like our souls are at various levels of development. and there's like, and then and in every soul is God, and the kingdom of God is within us. So how rich can you be?
As much as you'll say yes to.
Yes, that's very good. Yes.
And,
yes.
Know, and I keep mentioning this teacher I had, but she was quite good. And one of the things she said is that keeping it is just like there is a cupboard, a pantry inside of you, and you can open your pantry and take out anything you want.
Uh huh.
And it's like you were saying about the concentration and focus.
Uh huh.
You have to focus on what you want.
Exactly. And see, what happens is when people allow their minds to be agitated, their minds are, it's like, it's if we're focusing on the outer world, what happens is that's a misuse of the mind. The mind is supposed to focus on the inner world. And as we focus on the inner world of love and joy and bliss and God and just our real nature, we're naturally going to give out that which is good, and we also have to understand that we also have work in the world. We're living in this world. So we're not of this world, but we're living in this world, as Jesus said. So we're here to, this is actually one of the heavens. There are seven heavens. This is the first one. But it's also a middle place where there's also hell. People have a choice. But it's how we live in this life is going to determine where we go as we continue our life into forever.
Wall.
Yeah.
I vote for the one where everyone is having a good time all the time. See, you know that.
But you can't force it on them.
That's
their choice.
But
you want them to.
Well, I want to focus on the seventh heaven and anchor it in.
You know what it's called? Satyaloka.
Satyaloka?
It's the seventh heaven is called Satyaloka.
And probably a lot of people would say you're crazy to even think about that.
Oh, because they don't understand that life's mystical. The whole thing's a mystical big deal.
Well, and what don't you think our job is to focus on that seventh heaven?
Exactly.
And then anchor it here.
It's
as
pure
the
goodness.
Way it is,
mm-hmm.
But and send that out.
We have to live it ourselves.
Yeah. Well, Terry, I used to think, you know, wealth and prosperity was living in a certain place and
right.
having a certain amount of money in the bank and being doing my dharma.
Right.
And my mission and fulfilling that the way I was guided every moment. And I live in a beautiful place that was, I used to sit in the hot tub with Jerry, and I would say, I really didn't believe I would get a house like this. I really believed houses like this were for other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I asked, and I got that.
Right.
And it's a lot of maintenance. And I remember you
right.
saying years ago, don't let life become about polishing your stuff.
Right.
So
looking around at your things. Thinking, oh, my things are giving me comfort. That's what a lot of people do. Their whole life is to be surrounded by their things. That's why what real prosperity is, they should start giving some of that away and detach from it and give it to somebody else. I used to have this, I had this ring one time, two different times. I had one was this big, chunky aquamarine with diamonds on the side. And the one I had before that was big, big, dinner ring with great big pearls and diamonds and all this. Well, I let that ring help me to build my prosperity consciousness because, you know, it's like we have to start where we start. Not everybody just jumps to God realization, you know. They have to go up these stairs. So I needed to learn that I was worth it and I could have this ring and all that. So when I finally completed that ring, I gave it to my sister. So she could develop her prosperity consciousness. And then later on, I gave her this big aquamarine, too, and gave it to her. Then I found out years later, she told me that when that did its work, she then gave it to somebody else to work on their prosperity consciousness.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! And I actually started practicing that thing that the things that we think we just have to have and we can't live without, and then maybe we need to let them go, because you're going to lose them when the body changes, because this place isn't about things. It's about our character, our divine character. It's about our relationship with Mother, Father, God. It's our eternal life. And yeah, we need to have, God knows we need food and clothes and houses. But, you know, some person, maybe all they need is a tent and a bicycle. But somebody else needs a Rolls Royce and a mansion.
I need a lot of flowers.
I do, too.
I need a lot of flowers.
Roses are great.
Yes, and if I had $1, I wouldn't buy bread. I'd buy flowers.
That's very nice. Well, if you buy roses, you could eat the petals.
Well, if you buy roses, it would just be a soul's choice, you know. Mm-hmm. I would never operate as if I were poor.
No, never, because we're not. See, I have people, in fact, everybody who's listening, I want you to say, no one's more fortunate than I am.
No one's more fortunate than I am.
And then why that's true is, and the next thing is say, I'm made in the image and likeness of God.
I'm made in the image and likeness of God.
The next one is, I'm God's favorite child.
I'm God's favorite child.
So, but what that means is that we're part of God, we're made in the image and likeness of God, God loves us. In some inconceivable way, we're God's favorite child. God worships and adores us.
And everyone is God's
Everybody
favorite.
Has that.
Everyone.
Everybody. And it was so nice yesterday. I did this seminar in Lancaster. And, you know, people of all ages in there and different backgrounds and nationalities and colors and all this. And it was, like, so wonderful to teach people about who they really are and to awaken, to help people awaken from the deep sleep of ignorance, to awaken into the bright, new, glorious, eternal day of love and joy and bliss. People don't know that bliss is their nature. They don't know that prosperity is their nature. They don't even know that they are this moment, that this moment isn't something else. It's us. But it's us, and it's God's moment, obviously, but it's, we're always going to be in this moment.
It's always now.
It's always now.
So why not be wealthy now?
Yeah, and wealthy is a state of mind. And so, like, everybody could say, I'm wealthy. And so the mind will say, yeah, but, I don't have this, I don't have that. So there's a wonderful teaching that I like in, it's called the Parable of the Talents that Jesus taught. And it's the real teaching of prosperity, because there were two people. One person had 5 talents, another 3, and God gave another one 1. And God said, you know, I'll be back. You know, you use it wisely and I'll be back. So the one had 5 went out and invested it. That means gave of talents, abilities, and got 5 more. The next one went out with the 3 and invested it and used it and got 3 more. The one with only 1 thought he didn't have enough and he was afraid he'd lose it. So what he did is he hoarded it and didn't invest it, dug it, put it in a hole in the ground. So when God came back to the one with 5, he said, good job, you can keep those 5. You did great. You did what you're supposed to do. You multiplied. That means you used what you had.
You started where you were.
You started where you were with what you got. The one with 3 did the same thing. Because, see, we all have a different amount of talent. Some people could have been born into a wealthy family. I had a couple of friends that their mother threw them in a trash can in an alley right after they were born. You know, I mean, there's people that from every kind of thing, but, you know, that's the story. But every person can be God realized. Every person can attain the topmost that anybody can attain. But they just have to know who they are. And so the one with the 1 talent that hit it, God said, you ungrateful person, you don't even know who you are, give me that one. And then
I'll give it to somebody that'll use it.
And he gave it to the one that had 5. And then what is there? There is gnashing of teeth. You know how always it says that? There's gnashing of teeth on the guy who only, he now lost everything. And that's what happens is people with a poverty consciousness. They're always living in fear.
To them that have it shall be given.
Exactly.
And lots of people are in poverty that have millions of dollars.
Exactly, because they think they're poor. What they think is, see, we should be poor in spirit. And what that means is to know that we of ourselves can do nothing. It is the Father and the Mother within me who doeth the work. That means that we as instruments are channels of God. We are in the family business. We are, it's God who knows the music. It's God. It's like when I had my title for my first book, What You Think of Me Is None of My Business. I had for 6 years, but no book because I didn't know how to write a book. And so I finally...
I would argue with that.
Well, I didn't at the time. I didn't think I did because I didn't... You know, I never paid attention in English class. I was into sports and music and theater and all that.
Mm. I think you do your best job just by being Terry. And all you've got to do is write the way you speak. And you do that.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I didn't know that then. I had no idea. And so...
Apparently.
So I had no book, and then I realized, obviously, that if I don't write it, I won't have it. And then what allowed me to write it is say, God knows how to write a book. If anybody else has written a book, I can even tune into divine mind and universal intelligence to even tap into that person's knowledge and funnel it into my brain and my intelligence. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Because if God does it through someone else, God can do it through me.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
And we have to do our part. It's like I say to people, how many of you want a new house? People raise their hand. I say, go get it today. Because what people say is, well, I don't have the money. So what? You can still, if that house is meant for you, if that's what you really want, God will give you the house. But you've got to go look for it. You've got to at least say you want it. You got to open yourself to it.
Wow.
Hold on one second.
Okay. Hand me that little guy.
Somebody's working on his website here. Wait a minute. There we go. Okay, that's all right.
That was great music.
Wasn't that nice? Oh, he's done this beautiful, beautiful film on India, and he's just putting up... I bought this new Mac, and I just put up my website.
Yes. Tell us.
Well, temporarily, just for a couple of days, it is, web.mac.com/Terry Cole Whitaker. And TerryColeWhitaker. But then a couple of days, it'll be just TerryColeWhitaker.com. But right now, if they want to look at, it's web.mac.com/Terry, TerryColeWhitaker. And that's why I wasn't able to send out announcement yet on your radio show. I finally got my email list cleaned up and now getting the site up. So, I mean, there's a lot of things I'm going to do on the site, but now it's up.
Well, that's great, Terry. And also,
and I designed it. God designed it through me, because I'm not a designer. But did you ever read the story of the man who tapped the secrets of the universe?
No.
This is about Walter Russell, and it was written by this guy named Clark. And it really impressed me. It's a little pamphlet, little booklet.
Uh-huh.
And it was how this man would just go into whatever he wanted, whether it was sculpturing or painting. He would just tune in. And he would let the presence, the power, the divine mother, the artist, express through him. And he did everything excellently.
Well, that's what we all truly want and long for in our mm-hmm. heart anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, somebody said to me, I said something like that to someone one time, and he said, well, I don't want it to be God. I want it to be me. And therein lies the problem, huh?
Well, because what happens is that is the problem. They want to be God. So they're struggling. Why? It's not about working hard. It's working smart. Why would he struggle? That's the story of the what do you call it, the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter. It's like, I want my inheritance. And that's like saying to God, I don't want to be living in your place. I want my whole branch. I want my own place, yeah.
I'm cutting off my branch and leaving.
Yes, that's it. And the branch falls to the ground. Of course, it's dead because there's no juice flowing through it because it cut it off, the branch. Yeah, and then after a while, when the leaves start to dry up and the branch dries up, there's nothing. And that's really, to me, the height of stupidity is to not understand that you're part of something far greater than you are, that loves you and sources you. But it's that ego that wants to be better than God. That's really dumb.
You know, I just want God to do it through me as God desires it done.
If that's, I agree. I agree with that. And anybody out there listening, if you agree, just say, I agree, that's what I want. And then you name it and claim it. You bring it to yourself.
And we claim it with you. And where two or more gather together, they may ask what they will in my name, and it shall be done.
It shall be done.
And so it is.
And
I
so
am
it is.
That I am.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. And I like to say, I am my mighty I Am presence, divine desires manifest every moment, every day, in everything, in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, for me, Terry, I have done that, you know, and then had a day where it looked like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Was that my I Am presence, divine desires manifest? And I just have to trust it was my interpretation of it, the best I could interpret at the time.
Exactly. And see, what a lot of my work now is really is getting more into telling people to give up self-violence, self-abuse, because abuse is what's been running the world, and abuse doesn't make us better people. And we think that feeling guilty, emotionally beating ourselves up, going over the past over and over again, and I coulda, shoulda, or woulda, and all that makes us feel bad. And what happens to feel bad, we have to stop the flow of divine love. We have to judge it and say that, you know, it wasn't the right thing to happen. But it's happened, and it's over, and it's done. And if there's a lesson, get the lesson. And say, thank you, God, for the lesson, but then move on.
And just don't talk about it anymore?
Exactly.
Well, it doesn't leave a lot of room for focusing on what you want or practicing
That's
the presence or keeping your attention on God to be going over, you know.
Right.
Well, but you know, it's been like, oh, well, wait a minute. How can I tell if something I did didn't turn out? And then saying, well, how can I tell if it's really God's will or just from the good idea department?
Well, it seems like we have to look at what's the motive. That's all we have to do. Is the motive from love? And is the motive from, serving or trying to help people? But at the same time, we're not in control of other people. So we might say, well, I'm just trying to help you, but the person doesn't want any help and they didn't ask for any help. That's just our meddling. That's our deciding.
Well, or else they're doing something that we don't understand.
Yeah, we don't understand, exactly.
God is doing that in them.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Terry, for me, I, myself, am such a handful that I can hardly keep track of what anybody else does.
I know. Me too.
I mean, you know, people talk about I'm not going to watch the news because because this happens and that happens. Well, I'm not going to watch the news either because I'm too busy taking care of the unruly parts of myself.
Well, you know what it is? Is that exactly? Is it, you can check on what's going on in the world, but it just shows what the karma is. It's cause and effect machine, everything. But what we need to look at, like, say, for instance, you know, we would all like to live in a beautiful place and with flowers and fruits and, you know, fresh water and loving people and a garden and
clean air
and all this. Well, what makes that? and what keeps it that way? It's like this. There was this person went to see this artist, and this artist had this big, huge chunk of granite stone, a great big piece, and was making a sculpture. And he had his chisel and hammer, and the visitor said, well, how are you going to make a sculpture, a statue, out of that great big chunk of rock? He said, I just chip off what I don't need. Isn't that good?
Yeah. And you know,
stop doing, just let go of what doesn't work. And if we begin to understand what doesn't work, just do what works. Let's focus. And we're really all caught up in this world problem. It's like plastic bags. Yeah, we want to find out, because a lot of people don't know that they have an eternal life and reincarnation. They can't escape what they've done. It's going to follow them. It's going to follow me.
And you may be born in the same town with the same parents.
Exactly.
You're going to get that family back till you deal.
Until you just love them and release them. And some of the stuff we need to do, and I tell people, if you hate someone, for sure you're going to meet them in the next life. You know? So you better like them so you don't have to deal with them.
Well, you know, it's what I see for myself is something is complete. It's complete, and I don't have to do that lesson anymore.
Right.
When it comes up, and I can still love myself and them.
Right.
Like my husband and I used to fight about money.
Uh-huh.
And I just finally saw that when an appearance came up, we completed that when we could just totally be with each other, keep loving each other, not blame each other, and you know, then go, okay, what should we do to make this work?
Uh-huh.
And that's when it was complete, and we, you know, stopped struggling about money.
Right.
But also, we stopped struggling about money because we finally took your advice, the tithing advice.
Tithing is really good.
I want you to say what, I think you already said what is the most important thing is knowing that God is your source.
Exactly.
Is inside you.
And then we need to, see, the thing is, when we, the big problem in the world is called the attitude of I, me, mine. This is mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it isn't. If it was ours, we'd keep it. But everything belongs to God, because God is all there is. And we belong to God. We're part of God. But we have free will. We can turn away or turn towards. And we turn away, we're cold and isolated, lonely, impoverished. We turn towards, we're wealthy, opulent, loved. You know, it's just the way it is. If you turn away from the heat, you're cold. You turn towards the heat, you're warm. So, that in giving to where we get our spiritual good, where it is, it kind of started with gurus. If you have, and a guru means teacher, and that, you know, a student would go to this teacher, this guru, and the guru would really teach them these eternal truths, which would eliminate all ignorance, which would eliminate all problems and distress. And it would, the person then would enter into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of opulence and love and beauty and mystic powers or whatever it may be. So this giving to where we get our spiritual good is really how the flow works, because the flow is based on giving and receiving. And a lot of people, what they do is they don't acknowledge that God is their source, so they don't give to their temple, their synagogue, their mosque, their teacher, or whatever. So they it's like they're stealing. They're getting something, but they don't want to contribute back to where they're getting. And so they can never really ever prosper, because they're too attached to the money. And they're too attached to the stuff. And that giving helps us to get detached from it, to realize this is God's. And then God, what God does is to help us to really move into that relationship, is then gives us back 10 times or more whatever we give. So when we take one step towards God, God takes 10 towards us. And that is that principle of tithing is regularly being a volunteer or giving money, time, talent to wherever is that spiritual center where you're receiving support and knowledge. And then there's the other thing called charity. Charity is not tithing. Charity is giving to people in need. And so that's a wonderful thing, too, because it softens our heart and it helps us to help people. Now, they say that when we give in charity, equal comes back to us, usually in the next life. But when we give tithing, giving to where we get our spiritual blessings, that means the blessings, how to find how to succeed in life, we get back tenfold now, and it puts us, what would you say, into that loop. Are you swimming?
I'm in the hot tub. I'm in the hot tub, and I just thought, what is the most, you and me have the best talk when I'm swimming and in the hot tub. So I just went, you know, I wish you were here and we could do this on
TV. Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
Uh-huh. But it's just like, you know, I used to be afraid to say I was as opulent as I am or lived like a princess.
Right.
And I remember, you know, when you were being so criticized, so roundly criticized for having so much. And about that time, Mike Tyson got $92 million for 10 seconds in the ring.
For beating somebody up.
Yeah, it was something like that. And I thought...
And nobody criticizes that.
Well, I thought, you know, why do we want to pay someone so much for beating people up instead of uplifting? You know, Terry, you shine like the sun. It was always the thing that attracted me to you most is that you shine like the sun. And you serve God the very best you can. And you're funny and outrageous and authentically yourself and tell the truth. And that's what I want more of in the world.
Right.
That's what I want more of in
right.
the world. I want aliveness. I want people to be fully engaged in being who they are and giving their best gifts, and you do that and exemplify that. So I want to encourage you.
Yeah, that's great.
And you encouraged me to become what I am. I wanted to do a radio show when you came on television, and you were saying exactly the same things that I said in my workshop, and I didn't have an opening at that time. But, you know, we know where they come from.
Yep.
And you just really helped me trust to move into that, but also the tithing.
Yes.
Helped.
It's really important. It's like, it's so amazing what it does, because it's like even doing selfless service. If you go to your spiritual center or you go somewhere where you're really helping other people to get God, it's a very generous thing, because there's this miserly, envious tendency that people have, and they don't want to really help somebody else to be happy and to prosper. They're actually kind of working against it, you know, with their grudges and getting even or whatever. So when a person goes and there they are, vacuuming the floor of their temple or their church or their mosque or their synagogue or whatever, they're doing it for God. And God is within the heart of every person and knows what they're doing it for. Now, if that same person then says, well, I'm not going to volunteer here anymore because my minister, my rabbi, didn't appreciate me. Well, then we know there was no selfish service, because what they wanted was glorification. But if they're really serving God with love, they get their reward, because they who basically pray to God in secret are rewarded openly. It comes to them. But this is scary for people, because they don't understand it. So that's why they need to trust in these ancient teachings and begin. Even if they're giving $10 a week and they were giving nothing, or they give a dollar. But, you know, it's like people tip a dollar to the guy who washes the car, maybe even $2. So you're going to church, you're not giving a tip. It's like, are you really getting value there? And if you're getting value that's making a difference in your life, then you give to that person because you want that minister or teacher to prosper because you're so grateful. Because it's like if we envy wealthy people, we can't be wealthy. If we hate them, if we resent these people, then how could... The resentment is in our heart.
It's hard to join that group as a friend.
It's what?
Hard to join that group as a friend.
You can't, and you can't have it, because it's like everything, our world exists in our own mind, and around us, and the microcosm and the macrocosm operate the same thing, so we operate in the same way the universe operates, in the body, in the world, and as above, so below. So it's like if we want to have something, we can't resent somebody else who has it. We actually want to encourage them and be happy for them.
I do. I encourage everybody.
I know you do.
You encourage everybody.
Well, that's nice. But I didn't used to be that way.
You didn't?
No, I used to have envy and jealousy and, you know, criticize people who were really superior to me, maybe in their use of their talents and abilities. Yeah, because it's that poverty consciousness that we get back to. What's prosperity? Prosperity isn't comparing ourselves to other people. It's not saying, oh, they have that big house and I don't, so I hate them. Just say, that's for me, if that's what you really want and need. But, you know, it's like also the house, like you said, is a big maintenance. You might want a great big boat. Well, fine. Act like a millionaire. Go and rent a boat. Or go on a cruise, and now what happens is you're probably on there as much time as you could have been on there anyway for a whole year, and you spend $500 for the cruise on a billion-dollar ship. So, and then you go around and act like you own it. This is my ship. Why? Everybody's waiting on you. Everybody's cooking for you. All for $500 for the whole year. You don't even have to go buy it.
So you're saying try on different things and go ahead and be rich now.
Yes, have the feeling of it. It's like if there's this restaurant you want to go to and all you can afford is a cup of coffee, then go. But the idea is a lot of times we think we have to have so much money to feel wealthy. It's like the people don't realize that, what is it, 85% of the people of America are living wealthier lives than royalty did at the turn of the century.
Wow. Well, Terry, we have about 3 more minutes.
Okay.
So say your most important thing. Say how people can get a hold of you.
Oh, well, they can go to the website, and they can, and then if anybody wants the free vegetarian cookbook, 3 people wanted it before, and then they can email me at Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, at terrycolewhitaker.com, TerryColeWhitaker.com, and they can also go to my website. That will be terrycolewhitaker.com, but for a couple of days it's still web.mac.com/. And it tells the teaching there.
You know, Terry, I wanted to say one of my dreams come true is having friends like you.
Oh, I love having you for a friend, Iris.
Thank you.
You're so sweet.
I know you do, and I feel like it's such a source of wealth and riches.
Yes, it is.
For me, and that my idea of a friend has been, how can our coming together in any way spread the most love and light on this planet?
Exactly. That's why we come together. See, a lot of people, they go in relationship, they have no purpose. And this is what I want to say to people, the last thing, that people are wandering, and they don't know what to do. They're bored. They have no idea. And if we really understand, pray and ask God to know your purpose, your mission, your life's work. And it's taught, it's known. And when we do that, then all of our relationships, we're in it really to give love.
Yes.
And to receive love.
Yes, and we're not sitting around on this planet because we came to eat our lunch.
No, or buy a fudgesicle and a bag of Fritos. You know, or watch, just sit and stare at the television.
Yeah.
It's like, it's fine, use it for what it is, but this is about your life, every person out there.
Well, I want everything. You know, you were talking about things don't belong to us.
Right.
And so I take everything in my life and I give it to God.
Right.
Who it belongs to anyway. And then I go, okay, God, how do you want to spread the most love and light with this? And if it's a pair of shoes and I'm supposed to give it away, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
It's like, since it belongs to you anyway,
mm-hmm.
and since your purpose is to expand the love
mm-hmm.
and light here,
mm-hmm.
how can this expand the love and light? And
right.
Terry,
that's so beautiful, Iris. That's the way. See, you're on the path of supreme human being. This is who we really are. We are divine beings, godlike.
Oh, I'm sorry, Terry. We've gone over our time.
Right.
I just got so excited I wasn't watching. So thank you for being with us.
Oh.
God bless you.
Thank
all
you.
Your projects. And I just honor and give thanks for the gift you are on the planet with all my heart.
Yes, you too.
Thank you. And you too, all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in. We'll be here next Monday at 2 o'clock for Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True, with the wonderful John Randolph Price.
Mm.
God bless you, and may all your dreams come true.